everybody. I'm Connor. This is Doug. And welcome to It's a Pod Knock Life, a podcast following the escapades of Little Orphan Annie. In the 1920s, Annie made the jump from newspaper funny pages to being a full-blown radio star before she hit the Broadway stage and inspired not one, but two Hollywood blockbusters. 100 years later, we'll take a closer look at this cultural phenomenon, from Miss Hannigan shenanigans to speculating wildly about how Daddy Warbucks actually made his money. Or profiteering. We'll also break out our Little Orphan Annie secret decoder badges to figure out which powdered chocolate milk flavored product we should be drinking. Finally,
Connor, maybe we'll tackle that topic tomorrow. So you gotta hang on till tomorrow. But today, this is the Bethel School District Presents, a podcast about the Bethel School District. And if you're still here after that little bit of warbling, we're going to head off to the Pierce County Skills Center.
What a set of pipes, Doug. As many of us know, the Pierce County Skills Center provides rigorous career, technical, and professional experiences preparing students for high-wage and high-demand jobs. Scott Martin, director of the Skills Center, said they have 14 programs for students to explore.
We have programs from aerospace machining and composites, IT cybersecurity, technical things, like medical careers, pre-pharmacy, public service like fire science, criminal justice, all kinds of amazing options for our students. We even have a cosmetology program that's offsite at Clover Park Technical College.
And all that is because the Skill Center is a result of a lot of important folks coming together to make it happen.
Our legislature and our taxpayers have put a lot of money into building this place. Our districts put a lot of time and energy into transporting students, and our families connect their kids and commit to these programs. Our students are spending half of their day there. So there's a lot of investment going into the Pierce County Skills Center. And so we really want to be focused on what we're offering in return. What is our return on investment for all of this energy?
Aside from high school credit, which students earn as they complete classes, they also have the opportunity to earn industry certification and dual credit. That's college credit for the class. Last year, some 75.9% got industry certifications along with their high school credit, and 72.6% earned college credit. Needless to say, it's a popular center.
We started the year with wait lists, and after our usual bit of attrition and students settling out, we're still near capacity. So that's been a great thing. I will also share that some focal points for us as we look to provide opportunities are paying attention to our students that are non-traditional students. So an example would be female students in the construction trades or in the automotive trades, or male students in the nursing programs or those types of things. So we're continually trying to increase opportunities for students in those non-traditional roles, as well as our students of color, and making sure that we are really offering a broad diversity of range for our students and the ability to attend and really be successful in our programs.
This summer, the Skills Center also ran two sessions of summer school for incoming 9th through 12th graders.
28 different course offerings, 448 students in person, four different spots. 95% of all the students earned credit this summer, and 50% of the students enrolled were Bethel School District students.
The fact that 50% of the students at the Pierce County Skills Center are Bethel kids is no surprise. Having a Skills Center in your backyard is great for our kids. The Skill Center has 10 other districts that participate as well, and it continues to grow both in size and in scope. In 2021, they were awarded $9.8 million from the state legislature to purchase and renovate a building next to their campus. That'll open late next year.
And our construction trades program and fire science classrooms will move out to that facility in the winter of 23, opening up space in our Olympic building for our new pre-electrical program. So we're pretty excited about that. I will share, anytime we add a new program, we do work with state, local, and tribal groups to identify the need in the market. What jobs are there? Where's the pipeline? What do people need? And then we work with our schools to see interest for students and try and marry those, and then also look at what programs we have. In this case, our electrical program will be able to partner with construction. They build houses, they do those things, and also with our IT department that does low voltage wiring and those types of things. So lots of opportunities for them to work together.
Our students really benefit having the Pierce County Skills Center in our district. Kids are booking it over there all the time. How do you like that transition, Connor?
Weak sauce.
Well, nevertheless, let's talk about books. Connor, when you think of a librarian, what comes to mind?
Like a lot of people, I think of someone sitting behind their desk, watching you like a hawk, shushing you when you're loud.
Well, maybe that's a you problem. Maybe you need to be a little quieter in the library, Connor. But you're right. A lot of people have that Norman Rockwell stereotype of the town librarian. And we're talking about teacher librarians in our schools. There's a lot more involved with that job. I actually sat down with Lisa Stoidel. She's a teacher librarian at Catherine G. Johnson Elementary School. We chatted about her job and the teacher librarian position here in Bethel.
There's so much besides teaching that a teacher librarian does. We collaborate with teachers. We love to collaborate with teachers. In fact, extending lessons that the students are doing in their own classrooms, or if they have students that are interested in certain things or working on passion projects, we focus on digital citizenship. The teacher librarians are responsible for 3 different inventories, which is unique. Usually we think about a librarian focusing on their library collection. We do have that at Bethel, obviously, but we're also responsible for all the assets in our building. Those assets are all the tech that teachers use and all the one-to-one devices that the students use. And then in addition to that, we also are responsible for all the curriculum in our building. Because of those other responsibilities, the assets and the curriculum that are unique to our district and being in our library realm, we have the luxury of having a clerk to help us handle that extra load.
So Lisa, you said it's unique, and it's not just unique in the buildings. How does Bethel compare with other neighboring districts when it comes to the teacher librarian?
Of all the districts around us, we're the only district that has an elementary librarian full-time in each of our elementary schools.
And that's huge for our kids. They really benefit from that, and that's something that you get to see every day. What's one of your favorite parts of your job?
One of my favorite parts of my job is just seeing the kids come in, and I don't have to worry about going to another school and leaving this group of kids to go and meet another group of kids and try and keep everybody straight. I just have my school, and that helps create a great culture.
Excellent. We're also sitting here with Kelly Boynton. He's the executive director of elementary schools and not a stranger to the podcast. Welcome back, Kelly.
Nice to see you, Doug.
For you, does that Norman Rockwell idea of a librarian, does that ring a bell?
It sure does, Doug. As you know, I was a principal at both Graham Elementary and Nelson Elementary. I remember stepping into the principal position. Tell you the truth, yeah, I didn't have a good understanding initially as to what a librarian did. I had sort of the traditional view, and I didn't even use the term teacher librarian. I remember my librarian at the time, my first librarian, Andrea Hines. She was a wise, wise lady. She made me schedule a time with her each month where she would just sit down with me and talk to me about the work of the librarian. She educated me, and it was fascinating. Midway through the year, I began to tell people I was a student of Andrea Hines, the teacher librarian. And I'll tell you, I learned that it's far more than putting books on the shelf and asking people to be quiet in the library. That's not the look. They collaborate with teachers, they extend the curriculum, and they are teachers. They teach our students and take our students to the next level. I was wowed. I became honestly fiercely protective of my librarian when I saw the impact and power that she had with our students.
How Kelly described meeting with Andrea Hines on a regular basis. Our librarians are meeting with each one of their principals. And I mean, as a stakeholder in their building, the principal has ideas and they're a great collaborator for their librarian to use. And that's just one way where you'll see librarians do things differently in different buildings, where they're being creative, they're creating lifelong learners in their own community. But that's what's so cool about it, is librarians are different. Every single library you're going to walk into is going to be different.
And another unique thing we have in our district is we have a teacher librarian TOSA for our elementary schools. And you are her, Lisa. That's point four of your position. Is that right?
That's correct. I'm point four TOSA. And what that allows for our group of librarians, we're a big enough group that we need a leader, somebody that can kind of work with things behind the scenes. There's always projects we're working on as a group, and having the time to be able to do that is huge. Or to go in into buildings and help somebody new in the position, somebody that may be new to Bethel. There's a lot to learn, and part of that is onboarding new librarians. One of the nice things about it is being able to collaborate with Kelly, who can reach out to all the principals or any principal with thoughts from librarians. And also be able to collaborate with Mike Sacamano, who has the specialist perspective in mind, and he's just a great person to collaborate on that level.
So one thing we do in our district that's also unique, I feel like that's our word of the day here, we're talking about our teacher librarians, but we have Battle of the Books, huge at our elementary and middle schools, and competitions will be in 2023. For those that don't know, it's kind of like a quiz show. Kids read a bunch of books and they form teams and then they come and answer trivia questions. The schools have their own competitions and then the winners from those go on to a district level competition. It's a lot of fun to watch. Tell me about your experience with Battle of the Books.
What's unique about our Battle of the Books is we choose from books that are already nominated for awards, mostly Children's Choice Awards. So students are already going to be reading these books for a good reason if they want to put in their vote on their favorite. And that's Washington State Children's Choice books. So we curate from the lists every year and create a new battle list, and 15 books the kids get to read. They're responsible for reading 5 books. They can read more than that, but as a team member, they should be reading 5 books. And when the kids are competing, they're first competing at their school, and the winning team from each school will compete then at the district level.
And I'm not going to toot your horn, but you didn't. So Catherine G. Johnson Elementary, you guys won Battle of the Books last year.
Yes, our team last year brought home the trophy, which was super exciting. Everybody in our school was so excited.
Especially because it was your first year as a school, which is awesome.
I'm also the proud parent of a battle champion.
That's awesome. That's okay.
As a principal, it used to crack me up because we'd get competitive as principals. I remember sharing with other principals that I had the team that was going to take it that year. And a couple of years, I was correct. Boy, in this role, it's just really neat to see the excitement, the participation. And it's just real healthy for kids and the district. I'm proud of it.
What got you interested in a career as a teacher librarian? Was this your first choice? Did you kind of grow into it? What's your story?
That's an interesting question because I've had a little winding road to being a teacher librarian. I listened to a podcast it's Carla Hayden. She's the Librarian of Congress. And she, in her podcast, said she's an accidental librarian. And when she said that, I'm like, I am too. So my winding road eventually led to getting a certificate in teaching. I was able to substitute teach in a long-term sub position in a library. And I just loved it. And I love reading. I like information and I like figuring out new things, and the library is just a great space for that.
Before we go, you both actually brought a book to this interview, and I didn't know this was a book study. So you have the National School Library Standards for Learners, School Librarians, and School Libraries. I don't want to delve into that, but I know you both read for fun. What are you reading for fun right now, Lisa? What's your go-to book?
Well, the book I'm reading right now for fun is Wink, and it is one of the books on our battle list.
Oh, for the Elementary Battle of the Books. Give me a 2-sentence synopsis.
This book is the true story of a very popular children's author, the challenges that he has while going through middle school.
Excellent. Okay. And for those elementary kids, that's something they are looking forward to or looking at coming over the horizon there pretty quick. Okay. You snuck in kind of a workbook there, but I'm going to let that slide. Kelly, what book are you reading right now?
Doug, the book I'm reading right now. I guess it's you could call it a workbook and for fun as well. It's called The Culture Code by Daniel Coyle. And you can see right there, it says The Secrets of Highly Successful Groups. It's interesting. You grab a book like this, you think it's just for work, but it ends up being for personal life as well. I've even found ways to make myself a better husband at home by reading this book.
That's quite the recommendation, The Secrets of Highly Successful Groups. And one of the highly successful groups are teacher librarians here in Bethel. Lisa, Kelly, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doug.
Connor, although I hate to admit it, I think you're more of a reader than I am. What's the last book that you read?
Well, I'm right in the middle of reading Beautiful Ruins by Jess Walter. He's an amazing Washingtonian writer. Great novel. Pick it up. Or don't.
I won't. You're in the middle of it. I guess I'll see how it ends first. Last book I read was 4,000 Weeks by Oliver Berkman. It's a book about living in the moment. The 4,000 weeks references the average lifespan in the United States.
Speaking of living in the moment, let's let the good people stop listening to the podcast and wish them well till next week.
I wish you well.
Okay.
Me too. You didn't leave me a lot of room there.